Welcome to installment 188 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment. Once again, a discussion of positive commandment number 70, the commandment to sacrifice an asham toloi, a sacrifice brought as a result of an uncertain sin which has been committed. As we've discussed in yesterday's portion and previous portions, there are certain serious sins which have the grave punishment of kores, or excision of the soul. Should one have committed such a grave sin unintentionally, b'shogeg, one must bring a chatos, a sin offering, as we discussed in positive commandment number 69. Sometimes an occasion could occur that not only was a sin done unintentionally, but perhaps the person was not even sure that a sin has been committed. As the Rambam brings an example of a person who has two pieces of fat in front of them, one which is chalev, which is forbidden fat, such as that covering the kidneys, and another one shumen, fat which one is allowed to eat, such as the fat attached to the heart of the animal. Now, should one eat this fat, which was attached to the kidneys, and do so intentionally, he would be punished by kores or excision. Should he do so unintentionally, he would have to bring a chatos, a sin offering. Let's say he ate one of the two pieces, and he's not sure which one he ate. And now it is impossible to determine which one he ate, because the remaining piece has been eaten by someone else or has been lost. In this case, he is required to bring an asham tolui, a guilt offering, but one which is tolui or pending, one which is brought because of a doubt whether or not the sin has been committed. Should later on it be determined that he actually did certainly eat the forbidden piece, then he must bring a chatas. He still must bring a sin offering. But until that time, he only brings this asham tolui, which is brought in as a result of his uncertainty. The Rambam quotes the biblical source for this from the end of Parshas Vayikra, the first Torah portion in the book of Leviticus, that when a person does a sin, one of the commandments which is prohibited, and he did not know, and as a result he was guilty and he must bear his sin, he is required to bring an ayal, a beautiful ram, one which has great value, and then he will be will have atonement for the sin which he did unknowingly. And our sages explain this idea of unknowingly means that he did not even know whether he has done a sin or not. As our sages term this, Lehuda, he did not know, as explained at length in the tractate Krisus. The Chinuch points out that we see from this that the mere uncertainty is itself the sin here. One might think that he must bring a sacrifice because perhaps he did a sin. The Chinuch points out that if that would be the case, should he find out that he definitely did sin, that he definitely did eat the one which was non-kosher, then he would not be required to bring a further sacrifice. Over here, however, we see that he nevertheless must bring a further sacrifice. Why? He must bring a sacrifice to atone for his unintentional sin, a chatas, a sin offering. Over here, he did not achieve such atonement, because over here, there was a completely different purpose. He was required to bring the sacrifice here because he did not know, because of his laziness, as the Chinuch terms it, his carelessness, his lack of desire to determine whether what he was about to eat was kosher or not. The Chinuch points out that this is an important lesson for us, that we must always be very careful about our actions and investigate them to make sure that they are in line with the Torah's requirements. Some of the other commentaries compare this with a case where there would be a doubtful physical danger involved. Let's say food would be possibly poisoned. In such a case, even should there be a slight chance that the food is dangerous, nevertheless people would automatically distance themselves from it. However, when it comes to a doubtful sin, the nature of people is that they are not as careful, since the negative result is not something as clearly visible as in the case of poison. They therefore are not so careful. The Chinuch says that the purpose of this mitzvah is to show us that this is also, this carelessness is itself a misdeed, and this also needs atonement. As we pointed out in yesterday's portion, there is an even greater value attached to the sacrifice of an asham toli, of this pending sacrifice, as opposed to a regular sin offering. As we quoted the Rabbeinu Yeni yesterday, that when it comes to a sin offering, one could get away with even a smaller animal. But when it comes to the pending sacrifice of today's portion, one must bring a larger animal. And he makes the calculation that it could be even 48 times the value of the smaller animal. To teach you that it is even worse, this case of not knowing in a way. This uncertainty is even worse than the case where a definite sin has been committed. As we discussed yesterday, many reasons for this, that possibly the person would be lazy in correcting his ways, since he could always say that he never did a sin. However, other people find other reasons in order to justify this sacrifice of a ram for the Ashem Tolui. For example, some say that since he is still in a pending state, Tolui literally means hanging. He is in a hanging state to determine whether or not he has done a sin. In that period, he needs protection not to be punished for the sin. And for this, he must rely on the merit of his forefather Avram, and to remind Hashem, to remind God of the greatness of Abraham, that his merit should protect us, we sacrifice a ram, that the ram reminds us of the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, that when Isaac was freed, the ram came in its stead and was sacrificed. The Rabbeinu Bachai, on the other hand, gives an explanation somewhat similar to the ones we quoted yesterday. In a case when someone did a definite sin, even should it be unintentional, he worries about the sin he has done. He must do tshuva. And this worry, the daigas that he has, this is itself part of his atonement. He does not have to bring as great a sacrifice in that case, because part of the sacrifice was he himself. His own worries count as part of the sacrifice, since he has been worried over his misdeed. However, in the case where a person is not even sure of whether or not the sin has been committed, in this case the person does not worry so much. And in this case, the only source of atonement for him will be the sacrifice, because his own regret will not be present. Therefore, he must bring a sacrifice of greater value. Other commentaries, however, explain this in a greatly different vein. And they say that to a certain extent, things are actually as they appear, that the doubtful case, when it's not even sure whether or not a sin has been committed, is actually less severe than the case when a sin has definitely been committed. What then is the reason that we need a bigger sacrifice, a more expensive one, in the case when one is not even sure of whether the sin has been committed or not? And they explain, there are two ways of achieving atonement for a misdeed. One way is through some sort of lack in this physical world, whether it should be a loss of money, a monetary cost, or God forbid, illness, sickness, or something of the sort. This is one way in which atonement could be achieved. Another way is through minimizing or diminishing a person's reward in Olam Haba, in the world to come. That it could be the person will be paid back everything here in this world, the person will have great physical reward, but when it comes to the world to come, he will not have such a reward. And this itself will expiate his sin and achieve an atonement. However, it is much easier to have the loss here in this world than in the world to come. Although it appears to us to be greatly difficult that a person is suffering in here in this world, whether financially or through other means, God forbid, nevertheless, we only experience this as being so severe since this is all that we are capable of experiencing. We are incapable of experiencing what will be after we are no longer in our physical bodies. We therefore care or look at primarily the pain and discomfort which is caused here in this physical world. But for example, the Ramban Nachmanides, in his introduction to his commentary on the book of Job, writes that all of the suffering that Job had to endure for 70 years has no comparison even to a small moment of suffering in the world to come, as the Alter Rebbe quotes in the last chapter of Yegedus HaTshuva in Tanya. It is easier to endure great suffering in this world rather than even a little suffering in the world to come. But nevertheless, we find out that the atonement value is greater here in this world than in the world to come. As the Alter Rebbe brings an example of a shadow on earth, that if you have a shadow move just a few inches here on the earth, this would mean that the sun would have to move thousands of miles in the heavens to cause this tiny movement in the shadow here on this earth. And so through just a tiny bit of suffering. Here on earth, we can accomplish a tremendous atonement for a large number of things which we need atonement for. This is therefore the explanation of the statement of the Talmud, is happy are they who are in affliction, or that they are happy with their afflictions, because they know that this is a tremendous atonement for things which they need correction or expiation for. With this, the commentaries explain our mitzvah of Asham Tolui, and why it is that in the case where it's a doubt whether even a sin has been committed, that one must pay even a larger amount of money than for a definite sin. And they explain that the loss here in this physical world is greater in the case when one is in doubt whether even the sin has been performed. But that is because it's less severe. You do not even know whether the sin has occurred. Therefore, God decreed that there should be an easy expiation, an easy atonement for such a sin, that the entire atonement should take place in this world, in this physical world, through a greater loss of money. When there is a case where there is a definite sin committed, then one brings a sacrifice of lesser value, and there the complete atonement then is not achieved by the sacrifice. We must wait in the world to come for the final atonement to be achieved. However, in the case of an Asham Toli, when it's not even certain whether the sin has been committed, in this case the complete atonement is accomplished here in this world, and nothing remains in the world to come. It would seem from this explanation that one should therefore ask for misfortune. But nevertheless, when we mention a physical misfortune, we say, God forbid, in spite of the fact that this is certainly something which is good for us, and certainly being done as a chesed, as a kindness to us, as teva atev lehetiv, since God himself is good and kind, everything which comes from him must be kind. However, nevertheless, we say, God forbid, because from our physical perspective, we ask and request that not only should things be good for us, but we should sense them as good as well. We shouldn't have to rely on explanations and thought processes to see that they are good. We should be able to concretely experience their goodness as well. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.